is the Lord. There was one more blockage here. I didn't get to it there, but we have to deal with a holy place church. It is a church that has a revelation. It is a church that has a revelation of sonship. It's a church that has a revelation of the Holy Spirit. It's a church that has a revelation of the plan of God, but refuses to go through the altar, the golden altar of incense, into the Holy of Holies. So these are denominational spirits that you and I have to overcome in our relationship with God. What with the prelude here this afternoon, it brought to mind a little drawing that someone shared one time that I thought was very good, and it emphasizes. It emphasizes the expression. Have you heard the expression, it's not what you know, it's who you know? Now, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Have you ever heard that expression? Huh? Yeah, I've heard it a lot. I've always heard it in the negative sense, but there's a positive side to it. There's a positive side. If you take humanity as such, let me do it this way. You take humanity and look at it like the spokes on a wheel, and so forth. You get the idea, right? I should have made that like that. Huh? And out here, you have the world. Huh? But these are pathways, for lack of a better word, pathways to God. So it's not what you know, it is who you know. Right? So you have God here, and out here, I may be the distance between you and me may be very vast, very big, very far away. Sometimes it would seem that you can't make it through the obstacles. But if we travel on our journey to God, travel on our journey to God, the closer that you and I get to God, the closer we get to each other. So it's not a matter of the diversity of personalities that is involved. It is the matter of one personality that we want to look at, that we want to know in an intimate way. Hallelujah. Many years ago, which really started the ball rolling for my wife and I, I was sitting in a conference meeting. In one of the states in the United States, I'll go back to this drawing here. And in the early stages of the development of this word for us, in our association with Brother Duciel and his wife Mavis, we had an association with other brethren who were very much instrumental in spreading this word and working with Brother Duciel. At that time, I wasn't one of them, but I was a recipient of his ministry, and as he would travel through, he would bless us. But in the midst of time and place, as is true with most of the works of God, there was something of a rebellion that rose up in the midst of it, and there were some of those who were working with Brother Duciel thought that they needed to have the preeminence over the various fellowships that we had in the United States. And at that time, we probably had almost 250 fellowships from East Coast to West Coast. The Duciles spent 2 years traveling back and forth across the United States, and everywhere he stopped, a fellowship sprang up. And in California alone, there must have been at least 30 fellowships from the north border to the south border. And I, that was really kind of an attraction to some people, and they wanted the preeminence. They wanted the preeminence in it, and as a result of that, the devil came in and scattered the work of God. But one of the people at that time, he was a young man, was very charismatic. He was very very outgoing. He was very articulate, and he was one of the one of those who was instrumental in spearheading the rebellion and the breaking up of the work. And really, God kind of stepped in and saved it in some respects, but I won't go into that. It was several years later. This was many years later. I was at this particular conference, and this young man showed up. And he began to share the word of God and to bring forth the revelation. He was talking about the 144,000. He was talking about the First Fruits Company. He was talking about the power that was being manifested in his own ministry, in his own life, and in the things that were happening in his own set of circumstances. And in all of it, in spite of all of the terminology, the thing was somewhat I-orientated or me-orientated. And he was using all of the right terms, all of the sons of God terminology in Revelation. But I noticed one thing. He was skipping over everything that had to do with tribulation. he was not saying anything about suffering with Christ, as in Romans it says, if we want to share in that glory, are we willing to suffer in his tribulation or in his sorrows or something of that nature? And he was skipping all over it. It was just very upbeat and positive, but it did not have the essence. And I was sitting in the back row at this particular conference, and many of these people had been in this word for 20 years, and they're nodding their head, they're shaking their head, they're saying amen, and they're really being energetic concerning what the message is going on. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what is wrong? You know, what is wrong? Why do they not hear? Do they not understand? Can they not discern what is going on here and the undercurrent of what is happening? And the Lord said a particular thing to me. He says, my people do not know me. Hallelujah. They know about religion. They have revelation. They have the charisma and the seemingly the unction and the anointing with regards to the knowledge of it, but they do not have the reality of it working in their lives. So you have to understand, all of these stations produce good fruit. They produce good fruit. But if you allow the fruit to stand out in the open for a very long time, what happens to it? It begins to, because fruit is very perishable. Hallelujah. And the attributes of the Spirit, the demeanor and the behavior of the Spirit toward us is always referenced as fruit. And it's for a reason. Fruit is perishable unless you do something with it. Hallelujah. And the objective, any of these things is not the objective of God. It's not what God wants. It's not what God said he wanted. What God said he wanted was that in Genesis 26, which we touched on Friday, I believe it was, he said, what I want is to create something in my own image. And not though I want it only in my own image, I want it in my likeness. And there was an agreement, a council in heaven, brethren, concerning that objective. And they said, let us make. Hallelujah. So that means from start to finish. Hallelujah. You know, I was a builder, and when I contracted building a house, I contracted it from foundation to what we call turnkey. That means finished. Finished. And I would get a down payment in the beginning, I'd get a portion of it in the middle, but the final payment was given on the inspection process of the house that I built, that it was a finished product. When the inspectors would stamp off on that house, I got paid. Hallelujah. If the inspectors did not stamp off on the house, the man who was hired me had a right not to pay me. Hello? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And there are benefits that God, it's not quite so legalistic, I don't believe, in that respect, as far as God is concerned. But what I do know is that there is that what you have, what you obtain now in this natural arena is what you're going to end up with at the end of the day. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Now, we think we're all going in on the same level. We do. We think that way. That makes it a little easier for us not to do something. That makes it a little easier, doesn't it? If we think that way, if we have that thought. But that is not the man who had one talent. Huh? One talent. What happened to it? He took it away from him. Now he said, I took that talent and buried it in, what did he bury it in?
The earth.
He's not talking about a piece of gold that was buried in the dirt. He's talking about the Spirit of God that has been given to you, and you wrap it up in your flesh. You wrap it up in your dirt and you bury it. Hallelujah. And it produces nothing. And the Lord said to him, at the least you could have done was to put it to the usury so that my one talent might what? Draw interest. So there is an expectation coming that God has concerning you and I and what He gives us. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to get out of the church mentality of once saved, always saved. We have to get out of the mentality that once you get that blood of Jesus Christ, nothing else matters and you can go to heaven. You have to get that out of your mentality. Because that is not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, I must work out my salvation. I have to work out my salvation. Now, you know, we want to help everybody else get saved. So that means I want to help you to get saved and help you work out your salvation and work out your salvation. But I'm not supposed to be doing that. I can facilitate, I can help, I can encourage in one way or another. But what is my primary responsibility? What is my primary responsibility is my salvation. Mm-hmm. And I also want to touch a little bit on what hinges upon that. You understand? The greatest evangelical tool that I have is my position of sanctification and righteousness. That's the greatest tool. That's the greatest evangelical tool. You can, and it's greater than going from door to door, door to door, door to door, door to door, door to door. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And you may get a soul saved, but you will not do for that soul what you could do if you utilize that one tool. If you'll turn with me, I want to go back into John 17. Hallelujah. All right, and I want to go down to verse 14, first start with. He says, I have given them thy word, And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, you know, as horrendous and as horrible it is of some of the atrocities that are being committed by humanity against humanity, I should, by humanity against Christianity, that is humanity, hallelujah, it is a definition of this particular scripture. Hallelujah. When one religion raises up to slaughter another religion, hallelujah, it's not because they just want preeminence. The one that they are normally usually slaughtering are those that hold an element of truth, and they want that truth eradicated. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So you have to understand the environment in which you are living. It's not a friendly environment. It's very hostile to you as a Christian. That doesn't mean that you have to be afraid, but you just have to be aware of it, which would create for you, I would think, a greater concern to have a greater sensitivity to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And a greater awareness in your life and in your business that you are involved in becoming more Christian, becoming more like Christ, hallelujah, in order that element of the world will not be able to fulfill its ungodly desire against you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Amen. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Oh boy. Praise the Lord. Did you hear it? I pray that thou should not take them out of the world. I could just as well say here, I might upset some of you. I pray not that thou shouldest not rapture them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You know, I am not supposed to be afraid of the devil. I am in some situations, but I'm not supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be afraid of the devil. I am not supposed to be afraid of what the devil can do to me physically. As long as I am afraid of that, I am under a bondage to the entity that we call the devil. It says he had them in bondage, what? Through fear of death. And the reason why I fear death in one respect or another is because my thought or my concept of eternity isn't a reality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's not somewhere way off out there somewhere. It is something that is inside of me. Hallelujah. When I receive Jesus Christ into my heart, I receive Jesus Christ into my being. Hallelujah. I receive him in my soul. Huh? Praise God. I have a soul. I am a mind. I am emotions. I am desires. Huh? And I am have a will. Praise the Lord. I should have done that in black because that's the way it would look when I was in sin and degradation. All of these things of my being prior to my conversion are under the power of sin. Huh? My soul is encompassed in sin. It is filled with sin. And on top of that, I have certain spirits working in certain arenas of my soul. One of the spirits that I had to deal with was the spirit of liquor. Huh? Drinking. Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Hallelujah. That was one of the predominant spirits over my family. My grandfather was an alcoholic. My father was an alcoholic. My older brother was an alcoholic. And as I was maturing as a young man, I was becoming an alcoholic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this was one of the major spirits that was working in my family. When I got saved, hallelujah. When I got saved, Jesus Christ came into the midst of this darkness. And he set up his residence in the midst of this darkness with all of these things going on in this arena. Huh? Hallelujah. It was light encapsulated in darkness. Hallelujah. But I began to fast and pray. Now, when I got saved, I stopped drinking. Hallelujah. But I did not break the spirit. God left the spirit for me to deal with. And as I grew in the Lord, and as we begin to have children, I was aware that my children were being tempted by this particular spirit. Hallelujah. And also I knew my dad was under the power of this spirit, and my brother was under the power of this spirit, so I began to go to God. And I began to pray, and I began to fast, and I began to ask God to break the power of this spirit. Now, my dad drank up until he was 70-some years of age, and he was in the hospital 3 times because the liquor had eaten the intestinal linings of his intestines, and he was bleeding out. Hallelujah. And he did that 3 times, and every time he tried to quit drinking, he could not stop drinking. Hallelujah. But somewhere down the road, somewhere down the line, I came to the realization that I have broken the power of that spirit. I broke it. When I broke it, my dad stopped drinking. My brother stopped drinking. And my children have never been bothered or had the compulsion to drink. Now, they have been tempted in that way. They have to fight their own battles, you know. But they weren't under the power or the authority of that spirit. Hello? Now, there is a lot of things in the mechanics of that I'm not going into. Hallelujah. Because in that process of deliverance, there became a division between me and my parents. Hello? Did you hear me? There came a division. They did not agree with my lifestyle. They did not agree with my theology. They thought I was being too radical. They thought I was being too
fanatical.
Fanatical. They thought I was being too fanatical. Hallelujah. But that did not hinder me. I just prayed for them all the more. You know, my mother one day took my son across. He was 18 or 19 or 20. I don't know how old he was. And they took him aside one day and said to him, you know, now you do not have to raise your children the way your dad raised you. And my son said to his grandmother, he said, Grandma, what's wrong with the way he raised me? Hallelujah. Which was a blessing to me because it told me he had something of the reality of the truth of what it was that we are doing. Yeah, rather, what I'm trying to illustrate here is that there is an authority that we have. We talk about the spirit of evangelism. We talk about the spirit of deliverance. There is a deliverance that comes from the process of sanctification and consecration that I am working in and contributing to that brings that relief. Hello? Hallelujah. And that is one of the points that I want to make here concerning what we are talking about. And it's emphasized here in this chapter of John 17. Now, this is Jesus praying for his disciples and also praying for you and I. And his prayer was not just a prayer that was coming off the top of his head. It was a prophetic word. Now, you have to understand the nature of the prophetic. The prophetic is something that when it is spoken, it releases an energy that works from that time until the time that it completes the total of what it was sent out to do. Hello? You understand me? So when Jesus was praying, he was praying prophetically. He was praying for his disciples. It was working in their situation. And as we have now received the word, and we are now participating with that word, that prophetic word is now working on our behalf.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you have Jesus not just praying for his disciples, you have Jesus, he was praying for you and I. If you can just visualize Jesus as he's praying for the disciples, he sees you sitting here in this chair.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He has to. If he's God, Alpha and Omega, he's there in the beginning, he's there at the end, and he's there all the way through the middle of it. He sees anything and everything that is happening. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So he says, I pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but but thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. All right, verse 17. This is where it really gets down to the end. Sanctify them through thy truth. So thy word is truth. So the word... The word is an agent. It's an active agent that works to cleanse and to purify.
Hallelujah.
Hello.
Amen.
You can put your finger there and turn with me back over into Malachi. I want to go to Malachi here, and I want us to read here chapter 3. Behold, I send the messenger, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Okay, what is a messenger? What is the responsibility of a messenger? Huh? He does what? He brings a word. Hallelujah. So we are talking expressly about a thought or a word that expresses or conveys a thought. Hello? But more than that, it is something that has an active role in what it is that we are involved in as far of what God is concerned. So he says, I send this messenger, and his job is, he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Who shall abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like what? A refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Now, a fuller's soap is a soap that has the agent of lye in it. Huh? And lye is almost like an acid. It's not an acid, but it's almost like it. It has the ability to dissolve and to disintegrate a substance. Hallelujah. It's very, if you get it on your skin, it will burn you. Huh? Have anybody had any experience with lye? Hallelujah. If you put it on your skin, it will burn you. It'll burn your skin right down into the meat. It would just, it's very strong. And it says, he shall come like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. My goodness. A refiner's fire, sometimes we see these documentaries and they're making steel or they're making gold or they're purifying gold, and they have this very high intense heat. Hallelujah. That they put, and everything is molten. Everything is, sparks are flying. You're watching it on the TV or something, and it looks hot. And you can almost sometimes, like, you can feel the heat of it. He says, this word that this messenger is bringing is going to be like a refiner's fire. Hallelujah. And it's going to be like a fuller's soap. He says, he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord in those days, as in those days of old, as in former years. So when we talk about the process of sanctification, we are not just talking about being good, not doing this, not doing that. We're talking about a process that is scrubbing us down to the very core of our being, to eradicate any and all darkness or any aspect of our character that would pollute an environment in which God wants to inhabit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So did we sing the song sanctify yourselves?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Was it yesterday?
Yes.
Huh? Did you know what you're singing? You're saying, God, bring the refiner's fire. God, apply the fuller's soap.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what you're singing. That's what you're singing. When the Bible says sanctify yourself, It's talking about something that you do that you make absolutely sure that you are clean with no absolutely no possibility of contamination. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says, so here you have in John chapter 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. You know, you have to love God. You have to love God more than you love yourself. And boy, that's the hard one. Hallelujah. I don't really know too many people who don't love themselves. Hallelujah. We go to great lengths to make sure we look right, dress right, eat right, live right in circumstances and environment. Hallelujah. We spend a lot of money on different things to make us more comfortable and make living a little bit easier. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it says, sanctify them through thy truth. So if you want to know the reality of this word, if you really want to know what is behind it, if you want to know the living truth about it, you have to be willing and wanting the sanctification that God is going to bring into your life, because you are asking God to tribulate you. Hallelujah. Oh boy. He says at verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world. Now, when he says that, as thou hast sent me into the world. Now, just reflect back over Jesus' life. Look at the persecution. They tried to kill him four or five times before he finally submitted himself to the crucifixion. Hello? They lied about him. They went behind his back and told made up stories about him, lied about him. Hallelujah. He says that he had no place to lay his head. Hello? Oh my goodness. And we say we want to be like Christ. Well, I want to be like Christ on my conditions, my terms. I want gospel on my terms. I want them on my conditions. Let me lay out the conditions for my salvation. No, it don't work that way. Rather, we have to get outside of ourselves And the only way that we are going to do that is through fasting and prayer. We have to get outside of ourselves that we might see ourselves for what it is that we really are. We have to get outside of ourselves to let us, so that God can show us a different dimension of living. This is nothing. This is in some respects, it calls it a shadow. It calls it a symbolic form of what is eternal, or what is out there in the realm of eternity where God exists. We have to get outside of this position and into that realm, that we might see it, that we might want it, that we might desire it. Hallelujah. You can sit in meeting after meeting, listen to tape after tape, and never do anything about it, and you will never know the reality of it. You'll live and die, and at the end of the day, you would have said, I would have, I could have, I should have, and I didn't. I don't want that to be my testimony.
Amen.
I don't want that to be my testimony.
Amen.
I would have, I should have. I don't want my testimony after having taught others. Hallelujah. I myself find that I have fallen short. Oh my God. Hallelujah. What a condemnation. That's not well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of how many souls I win. Huh? It's not a matter of how many churches I build. It doesn't make any difference how many orphans I help, how many widows I help. Hallelujah. If I am not allowing the Word of God, as I know it, as I am aware of it, if I'm not allowing this Word of God, if I am not embracing, I'm not taking this Word as fire to my bosom. Hallelujah. There's a scripture. Can a man take fire to his bosom and not be burned? It's rhetorical. Hallelujah. But I have to be willing to burn. If I'm burning for the sake of redemption, if I'm burning for the sake of sanctification. Now, brethren, I don't go out and make my own tribulation. I don't have to. Hallelujah. Because the devil, the Lord turns the devil loose on anyone who wants to be sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, that's false gospel, isn't it? Huh? The Lord turning loose the devil on you to sanctify you? Come on, that's that true? Well, where's the scripture? Huh? That's right. Job. It starts right at the chapter 1. Book of Job, chapter 1. Hallelujah. And sons of God were gathered together, and there in the midst was Satan, walking up and down in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Satan decided to go to church that day. Hallelujah. And you know, it wasn't the Satan that came up to... came up to God and said, you know, this servant of yours, Job. Oh, no. He was staying away from Job. Devil was afraid of Job. Hallelujah. He was staying away from Job. He was afraid of Job. Job was a righteous man. Hallelujah. He's one of the few that God, if Daniel, Job, and someone were here, I wouldn't change my mind. They wouldn't make me change my mind. Which means they could change his mind in some situations. Hello? Hallelujah. Job was a righteous man, but God wanted him more righteous.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God wanted to take Job out of himself, so he said he turned the devil loose on him. Huh? Turn the devil loose on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Job just got sweeter and purer and more sanctified.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, he saw God.
Yes.
Well, of course, it rebuked him in some manner or fashion, and he fell down as though dead. But my God, he saw God, and God raised him up. And you know what? He had to pray for those tormentors. Huh? Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. He became their priest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world. Okay, God sent Jesus Christ into the world for a specific reason. And that specific reason wasn't just that we could be born again. That specific reason was to open the door of opportunity for all of humanity.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
To be able to be a recipient of God's thought and intent to be like Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know what? God had to prove to all of creation that God is supreme in His authority. So He took something lesser than the angels.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. You know, the devil was there when he saw God making that man, forming of the dirt. Can you imagine the comparison? Huh? The quality of his being, what it might have been when he was created in the beginning as an angel, a light, Heliel, hallelujah, that was his name, by the way, hallelujah, before he fell, hallelujah. Watching God make mud. Make mud. And out of that mud, a man stood up by the breath of God.
Amen.
The composition of his being changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And I can almost hear heaven gasp. I'm kind of strange, but I see these things. I hear these things. I see these things. I hear these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he had a specific idea and thought when he created this being. In fact, he created everything for that being, that one being. And then he turned around to it and said, "Here, it's yours. Take command. Take dominion. Bring it into subjection. It's yours. It's a commandment that's eternal, brethren."
Amen.
It wasn't made, it wasn't messed up because the devil got in there.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Because in God's mind, he knew all about the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a trick up his sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
The very thing that the devil thought that he was going to use to conquer God, God was going to use to conquer the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is not going to conquer the devil. He wants you to do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And He gives you an authority by which you might utilize that authority to do it. But you have to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And the thing that makes us like God is our ability to choose. It's our ability to choose. Did you hear me? Can it be that simple? Can it be that simple? It is that simple, but very difficult, because the devil throws all kinds of things inside of you, inside of your head, and inside of your sight and ears, and inside of your environment, in order to keep you distracted. Distracted from pushing through, distracted from being sanctified, distracted from being consecrated and dedicated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know, the computer technology that we have today is so much involved in the operation of the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God knew that man, hallelujah, God knew that man was going to need something extra special in order to facilitate what it was He wanted man to do. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And so He gave man a direct connection to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I said it earlier, it's like being hardwired to the mainframe, and you have access to the totality of what God is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not only do I have access to it, hallelujah, but Paul had a different perception of it. He said that Christ may be formed in you. Hallelujah. What is Christ? Huh? It is the totality of God and the redeemed form. Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. In the redeemed form. Hallelujah. Christ and man are to become inseparable.
Amen.
Christ in man and man in Christ are to become inseparable. Christ is a revelation to humanity for the sake of humanity.
Hallelujah.
Mm. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
When they talk about Jesus, they talk about Jesus Christ. You're talking about Jesus the man and Christ of God, huh? That are inseparable. He's one entity.
Mm-hmm.
He's one personality. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. And when you and I are born again, born of the water, born of the Spirit, and embrace the Word of God that brings us to the reality of sonship, we are working on the entity and the development of that embryo in us that is called Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you call Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, you are talking about a human element that has divinity within it, and human and divinity are working as one in the same thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So no wonder the devil don't want you sanctified. Huh? No wonder the devil doesn't want you sanctified. No wonder the devil wants you Ugandan or whatever, Sierra Leone, American, whatever. No wonder the devil wants you to remain in that mentality. For as long as you are Ugandan, you're not going to be in and of Christ. I found that a great revelation. There are no American citizens in heaven.
Amen.
My passport won't do me any good.
Yes.
Come on. There are no American citizens in heaven. Huh? There are sons of God.
Amen.
There is a body that is called Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
There are no nephews and cousins and sons and daughters. They are all one entity that is called Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Christ is something that is made to be manifested in this element of time.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the first representation of that was with Jesus Christ. Hello. Hallelujah. And it says that Jesus Christ had to develop. Oh, come on. You thought he was born as Christ, right? You thought he was born as Christ. Hallelujah. It says he learned by the things that he suffered.
Hebrews chapter 4.
Huh? He developed. He had to develop that nature. He had to encourage it. And I'm telling you, brethren, he was tempted from every direction that you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. When you're born a baby, when those things are so sweet and cuddly, and you want to love them to death, but they can be so ornery and stubborn and throw fits and scream and hit and beg and do all kinds of things. Throw tantrums down on the floor and beat the floor. Huh? Oh, we said, oh, they were sweet little things. Huh? Hallelujah. All of those things are part of the nature of Adam. The fallen Adam. And Jesus, the man, had to deal with them. Not only that he had to deal with them, but his mother had to have the wisdom to teach him how to deal with them. Hallelujah. My goodness, what a woman that she must have been. Hallelujah. So here we are, verse 8. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. Now you get the connotation here. Do you understand what he is saying? Jesus was sent into the world to do a specific task. He was sent to do a specific thing. Hallelujah. Now he is turning around and delegating them with the same authority and the same goal, the same objective. He's delegating them and he's saying, go forth and fulfill your duties and your obligation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But here, listen to what he says in verse 19. And this brings us back to the thought. And for their sakes, I, Jesus, sanctify myself. That means that he had to sanctify himself. That means there was a need for sanctification. We kind of think he was born perfect. We think that he grew up perfect. But his perfection came by a process of obedience to the voice of God, to the word of God, and to the situations of circumstances that he found himself in. One of those situations was when he was 12 years old, they made a trip to Jerusalem. Right? Well, Jesus, knowing somewhat more about himself than the others did, or his mom and dad may have known, took a detour and went over into the temple and sat down to begin to discuss with the scribes and the Pharisees the scriptures. And it says they were amazed at his knowledge of 12 years old. Huh? I have a 12-year-old son, and he's interested in a grandson, and he's interested in fishing. He's interested in doing this and doing that. But I don't know that he's so interested in discussing and getting into the Word. This young man was 12 years old, and his parents chided him. Huh? Chided him. Why did you do what you did? Hallelujah. He said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? My God, he's 12 years old. How old am I? Am I doing about my father's business? Do I have the same tenacity and determination? Do I have the same desire? But let me get back to the sanctification. It says, there, it makes a specific point. He said he submitted to his parents and he went with them and he obeyed the authority that was over them. Hello? Sanctification. He knew more than they knew. And yet he submitted himself to them, hallelujah, that he might bring that nature of preeminence under control and under the power of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he says, I Jesus. Now this is the same Jesus who said in verse 5, he says, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So now in verse 19, he says, in spite of that, he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, hallelujah, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You and I have a ministry of sanctification. It is something that is inherited by virtue of the blood that we get because of the cross. Hallelujah. And that is one of our missions. That's one of our directives. We need to sanctify ourselves that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Now, at least you think that he's just talking about the disciples. Verse 20 puts it in perspective. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a position, there is a place in God that you and I have to come to grips with an understanding. that God wants not to stop somewhere along the process, but God wants to start and he wants to finish the job. Hallelujah. Now, what determines whether I'm a part of that company determines what I do through each one of these stations. Hallelujah. Each one of these pieces of furniture is another step, another level of experience in God that brings a nature change to me. Hello? I am developing a nature that the Bible calls Christ. Hello? Am I presumptuous in saying that? Well, if Paul was praying for that nature to be formed in them, I think that in them is me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I have to be willing to walk the same path. Romans chapter 8, verse 17, if children, then heirs of God, join heirs with Christ, if so that we suffer with him, that we may also may be also glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed where?
In
us. So the glory that was revealed in Jesus Christ is the glory that is to be revealed in the humanity element that is working to produce and to bring forth the revelation of Christ. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I reckon the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. And if you read verse 19 and 20, you find out that the creation around you knows more about who you are than you do. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. Brother Ron, you have to get a revelation and explain to me how the creation knew. But it says, the creation waiteth for the manifestation. There is an intelligence that creation has that gives it the ability to know that there is a coming Redeemer.
Amen.
And that you, and 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 you, you are a part of that redeeming company of people.
Amen.
Loosen, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The creature waited for the manifestation of the, for the creature was not made subject to vanity, not willingly, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, brethren, we need to get the reality of it. Individually, personally. You need to get the reality. You need to get it down. Not in your mind. You need to get it down into your heart. Hallelujah. Because what God has prepared for us, we can't even imagine. You know, when I was in the Baptist church, they told me about these pearly gates, these streets of gold, these pearly mansions. Oh, God, help me. Is that all God is? Is that all God is? No. I look up into the heavens at night. The immensity of it and the beauty of it. One night we were in Nigeria and we were in a little place called Ikbe, and it was out in the bush and there's no lights, no big city nearby reflecting off, just dark. I had never seen a sky like that, so full of stars. so absolutely so beautiful that you could even see some of the Milky Way and some of the things up there, out there. And God made all of it. And He made it for a reason. It wasn't extracurricular fluff. It was something that God had in His mind when He made man.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. And God is saying, there is something in all of this that I am doing that will take the next level of creation yet even to a higher realm. Oh my God. Let your mind run wild with God. Let your imagination run wild with God. Hallelujah. You can't imagine. You can't even imagine. And I have a vivid imagination. You can't even imagine what God has. And it's all on the basis of what is all contingent on the basis of what we do with what we got. And how we apply it. God bless you. God bless you.
I'd like to read the second chapter.
Okay.
Second Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith of God, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and perfection, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be
partakers
of the divine nature.
The divine nature.
Having escaped corruption that is in the world. So we are hearing the call to be part of, to partake of this divine nature. Then the step further, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence
to make
to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor of fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You continue to say, but he that lacketh this thing blind.
He's blind.
And cannot see afar off.
Oh my God, help us.
Forgotten that he was purged from his whole sin.
Can you imagine that?
Give diligence to make your calling
and election sure.
For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth.
And ye shall sanctify yourself and be holy, for I am holy, and ye shall sanctify.